Good morning, everybody. It is lovely to be here with you this morning. Really enjoyed the service so far. Thank you so much to everyone who's taken part. But it's really nice to be here. Thank you so much for your warm welcome. And I'm going to be brave today, okay? I'm going to get you to maybe talk to me a little bit, or maybe get everybody to interact a little bit. But we'll come to that as I go on. I want to begin today by telling you something about me, because probably most of you have no idea who I am. Well, I want to tell you something. I'm 32 now, but I want to tell you something about me when I was about your ages, okay? Because when I was your age, I used to love going along to Burger King. And this might not work, so you might need to flick it for me. So here's why I liked Burger King. Now, the food was good. Well, first of all, who likes Burger King? Any hands up? Okay, yeah. Who prefers McDonald's? Yeah, I thought that would happen. Now, here's what. McDonald's was further away from our house than Burger King, so it was just easier to go. But I'm going to show you a picture of the main reason why I enjoyed going to Burger King, and here it is. I enjoyed going to Burger King because you could get a crown on your head. Now, everyone be honest with me. Who fancies a cool crown like that? Who would be excited about that? Yeah, I thought so. When I was your age, I used to love going to Burger King because the food was nice, but I liked putting that cardboard crown on my head, and I used to pretend that I was a king. So I would boss my family about, and I would expect them to kind of serve me. I'd get them to pass me my ketchup or hand me my drink. I liked to pretend that I was a king. And I'm telling you that today, because today, we're going to think a little bit about a king. But before I tell you who that king is, it's a king that maybe isn't as well known as some others. So we've probably heard about King David. We've probably heard about King Solomon. Whenever we were hearing about Daniel, we heard about King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not someone really well known, but it's a good king that I want us to think about this morning. Here's his name. We're going to think about King Josiah. Okay, now, here's my big question. I'll read out a couple of verses from the Bible soon, but does anybody know what age Josiah was when he became king? Because it's kind of surprising. So we've got a few hands. Okay, down in the middle, your hand was up first. Shout it out for me. Yeah. 11. 11's close, okay? Anybody else want to have another guess? I'll go for red t-shirt. What do you think? 7. 7's even closer. Okay, we'll take one more. Do you want to tell me what age do you think he was? You've got a cool hairband as well. I really like it. What age do you think he was? Have you forgotten your answer? What was it? 8. 100% right. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. Let me prove that. We're going to read a couple of verses from 2 Kings and 22. Here's what it says. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, and he followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. So King Josiah was 8 years old, and the Bible tells us that he was a good king because he listened to what God said, and he didn't turn away from God's laws. Now, could you imagine becoming king or queen at the age of 8? Is anybody 8 today? Who's 8? Okay, how would you guys feel if I came over and said, right, that's it, you're king or you're queen? How would you feel? Some of you might quite like it, okay? I'd be a little bit scared. I could imagine how scary it would be. But here's the thing. When you become king or queen, you get to make up some rules and some laws. I'm not going to get you to answer this out loud, but maybe you can go home today and share with your family at dinner time. If you became king or queen at the age of 8, I wonder what laws would you pass? What kind of things would you want to put into place? Now, about 4 or 5 years ago, I asked some of my friends this question, and I still have the little video that I made. So I'm going to show you a video of some of the things my friends would have passed if they were king or queen at the age of 8. So let's watch this together.
Like, chocolate for breakfast. It's the way forward. Secondly, kids' TV all day, every day. No more of this news. It's really boring. Thirdly, Corian Football Club would be given the Irish Cup every year. Wouldn't even be a competition anymore. And finally, everyone would get a cute bunny rabbit like Mr. Theodore here. I think that would be my laws if I became king at 8 years old.
If I became king at age eight, I would make my birthday and all my friends' birthdays national holidays for everyone.
If I became queen at the age of eight, I would pass a law that you would have to have chocolate for breakfast every single day.
If I was king when I was 8 years old, I think I would have gotten rid of homework, banned Brussels sprouts, and instead of paying taxes, I think I'd make everyone give me a bag of sweets every day.
If I was king when I was 8 years old, I would make it compulsory to eat sweets with every meal. You wouldn't have to go to school on Mondays or Fridays because they're clearly the worst day, and everyone would have to support Manchester United.
If I was queen and I was age eight, I would make a law to ban all homework, and I would also pass a law that the queen would get free Barbies for the duration of her childhood. I would also ban vegetables.
If I had become king when I was 8 years old, I think I probably would have insisted on creating a television channel run by children for children. I wonder how that would have worked out.
If I was made a queen at the age of eight, I think I would have made up the rules that you're allowed to eat ice cream anytime that you want and you're allowed to go play in the park anytime that you want.
Hey guys, if I became king at age eight, I would abolish all homework. I would make sure that FIFA became part of the school curriculum, and I would also suggest that the school day would start a bit later, maybe like 12, and finish at 4 p.m. Thanks.
Okay, so there's a few rules that my friends might have passed when they were 8 years old. Thank goodness they aren't kings or queens. My favorite thing about that video is that since I recorded it, Dave, who was the last person, has become a primary school teacher. So I don't know if he's teaching his kids to play FIFA during the day. But we can all think of something that we'd love to do if we were king or queen at the age of eight. But here's the thing. I want to tell you about a law that Josiah passed, not when he was eight, but I want to fast forward a little bit to when he was the age 26. And there's a law that he passed that was a really important one. And the reason why he passed it is because something had been found. Before I tell you what had been found, this is the point where I want to do a little survey with everybody in church. So I'm going to flick up a question. The question is this. What do you think are some of the most common things that people lose? Okay, I'm going to ask a few of you before we do my little survey. So what do you think people lose? I'm just going to come out and talk to you again. What do you think? Car keys, okay. Yes, and the white cardigan. What do you think? Say again. Sports day, ooh. Oh, that's just made me feel bad because I lost lots of sports days. Okay, who else will I ask? What do you think people lose? Not sure. Footballs, ooh, that's a good one. So maybe over the fence. I'll take a couple more. What do you think people lose? Their phones, okay. These are good answers. I'll take one more, yep. Their minds. I'm sure you're not talking about anybody in your family or anything like that. Well, let's do a quick survey because I have researched the top 10 things that people lose, and we're going to see how everybody in Drumlea does when it comes to these items. So here's the first one. People often lose their keys. Hands up if you've ever lost your keys. Oh, that's quite a popular answer. Okay, I've done that before. Let's go for the next one. Common thing to lose is your phone. Hands up if you've ever lost your phone. Okay, not as many people as keys, so we'll keep that at the top. Third one, we have the TV remote control. Oh, it's terrible. I thought that might be a popular answer. Okay, lots of kids have lost it. The next one, Sometimes people can lose their car. They've forgotten where they parked it, especially if it's a multi-story. I can tell from people laughing that this has definitely happened. Who's ever lost their car in a car park? Okay, a few. Next one. Anyone ever lost their passport? Just a few times, okay. That can be very stressful, especially if you're going on holiday and you can't find it in your bag. Let me give you number 6. Has anybody ever lost a book? They've wanted to read it, go back to it, and they just can't find it, okay? A few of you as well. A couple more. Anyone ever lost their glasses? Okay, keep your hand up if when you lost your glasses, they were on your head. A few people, okay, very good. Next one, has anyone ever lost a ticket for the bus or the train? Not as many. Maybe you've been on holidays and you've let it slip somewhere. And then last two, anybody ever lost a favorite item of clothing? Yeah, I've done this. I've got a t-shirt that I loved and I just can't find it. Or finally, has anyone ever lost their purse or their wallet? A few people. Okay, I'm going to say, drumroll, the most common thing lost in your church is keys. So when those new halls open, be careful about who the keys go to. But we all know what it's like to lose something, but we also know what it's like to find something that maybe we've forgotten that we had. I wonder, have you ever found maybe a packet of sweets that you forgot you'd hidden somewhere? Or maybe you've gone into a shirt pocket and you found some money, a couple of pounds that you forgot were there. Or maybe you found that item of clothing that you hadn't seen for a year and suddenly there it was. Well, King Josiah, he had found something that had been lost, but it was way more important than any of the items that we've just done a survey on. Before we find out what it was, I've got one more question that I want to ask some of you this morning. Does anybody have a favorite book? Yeah, okay, shout out, what's one of your favorite books? Tell me what it is. You can just shout it out, I'll try and listen. The Midnight Gang, okay, very cool. Anybody else got one? Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Star Wars fan, okay. Give me one or two more. Who else has got a favorite book? Yeah. What's yours? Marvelous Medicine. Okay, George Marvelous Medicine, that's a good one. And what's your favorite book? Okay, nice. Well, I'm going to show you some of my favorite books from when I was a little kid. Here's the first one. One of my favorite books was Thomas the Tank Engine. Okay, but here's what was cool about this book. It had buttons that you pressed when the picture came up on each page, and it made a really cool sound. My parents didn't like this book as much as I did, because I liked pushing the buttons. Here's another one that I loved, The Very Hungry Caterpillar. Anybody like that one? That's a good one. Third one, We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Yeah, that's a popular one, okay? I loved that book. And then finally, my favorite books of all time were the Mr. Men and Little Miss books. Mr. Happy is the first book I can remember reading on my own. So I'm sure we can all think of a book that we love, but here's the big question today, okay? We can probably all think of books that we like, but how many of us would say that the Bible is our favorite book, or that the Bible is the most important book that we have? You see, most of us here in Drumroll, in Northern Ireland, most of us have at least one in the house. Maybe some of us have more than one. But the thing about the Bible is it's no good just having one, okay? We need to read it, we need to live it out, and we need to love it. Because the Bible, as we've heard from our Bible readings this morning, the Bible is God's way of talking to us. He speaks to us through his words. And that's what our reading told us, that all of Scripture is breathed out by God. It's God's voice speaking to us. When we read the words of the Bible, when we read God's word, well, we see how important it is for us in all of life. And that's why, well, we shouldn't just leave it sitting on a shelf or on our bedside table collecting dust. The Bible has the power, because of God, to change us, to make us more like he wants us to be. There's a man called Charles Spurgeon who once said this. This is a great quote. He said, a Bible that that's falling apart. So a Bible that's been really well used usually belongs to someone who isn't. What he means is that the Bible, God's voice speaking to us, it's this amazing gift that we've been given. And if we spend time in it, if we study it, if we get to know more about who God is and what he's done for us, well, it will help us in all of life to live the kind of lives he would want us to live. God uses it to speak to us, to challenge us, to encourage us, to come close to us. God's word shows us how much we need him and how much he loves us. And we need to remember that every day. But what does the Bible, what does all of this have to do with Josiah? Well, the king had sent some people to repair the temple, the house of God. And while they were doing their work, repairing the temple, they found the book of the law. They found some scrolls like we see on the screen, part of what we now call the Bible. The book of the law had been written by Moses when God told him how he wanted his people to live. So it was full of lots of good advice for us, lots of laws, lots of rules, telling us how we're to be different because we belong to God. But here's the big thing. It had been ignored. It had been forgotten. It had been lost by God's people. And now King Josiah, as the temple is being repaired, has found it. I wonder, have you ever forgotten something that you really shouldn't have? It makes you feel really bad. Maybe you've turned up at school and your teacher said, okay, everybody, get your pencils out because we're going to do our spelling test. And you think to yourself, what spelling test? I forgot that we had one. Or maybe you turn up to your friend's house to hang out with a few other friends, and as you turn up, you see them passing an envelope and some presents, and you think, oh, I forgot it was their birthday. Or maybe your parents have come home and they've asked you, did you get milk at the shop when you were coming home from primary school with your grandparents? And you think, oh, I forgot I had to get milk. It's horrible when we realize that we have forgotten something. And that is exactly how Josiah felt when he realized that the people had forgotten God's book. Let's read a couple more verses from 2 Kings 22. Here's what it said. When the king heard what was written in the book of the law, he tore his clothes in despair. Then he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest. He said, go to the temple and speak to the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. Inquire about the words written in this scroll that has been found. For the Lord's anger is burning against us because our ancestors have not obeyed the words in the scroll. We have not been doing everything it says that we must do. King Josiah, when he found this part of God's word, when he realized that we have not been listening to what God has been saying, we've completely forgotten him. The Bible tells us he tore his clothes, which in those days was a sign that he was so full of regret and despair. He knew that this was a terrible thing to have happened. They'd forgotten God. And so he says, go and speak to God on behalf of me and the people. You see, he realized that all of God's people, well, they'd failed at trusting and obeying God. They hadn't lived the way that God wanted them to live. And we know that that's called sin. And so because of sin, well, God's people were in trouble. But Josiah decided to do something about it. So he called all of the people together. He gathered them up. And what he did was he had the word of God that they'd found. He had it read aloud so that everybody could hear what it said. And then here's the law that he passed that I told you about earlier. The law was this. He said that all people must listen to what God had said and obey it. He said, we've forgotten God. We've done what we shouldn't have done. We've sinned. And because of that, we're in trouble. So how can we make things right? Well, we need to hear what God is saying, and we need to try and to obey it, to live it out. So what he did was he got rid of everything that God didn't want to be there. All evil was gone. He tore down idols, and he burned the things that they shouldn't have worshipped. He helped everybody to see that they had to stop doing things their way, and they had to start doing things God's way. There's not too many other mentions of King Josiah in the rest of the Bible, but he was a good king And we can learn a very important lesson from this story that we've been thinking about today. Because this story, well, it's not just about King Josiah and God's people. It's actually a story about us. See, the Bible says that everybody has sinned. All of us, at some point, we've forgotten about God and we've forgotten about his word. So many times in life, we choose to go our way instead of God's way. We let other things become too important to us, and we don't give God the place that he deserves. We don't love him more than any other thing. We make idols, we do things our way, and we know God with our minds, but maybe we don't fully love him with our hearts. And so, well, the Bible calls that sin. When Josiah, that great king, realized the sin that was in his life and in the people's lives, he had a choice to make. His choice was this: will I ignore my sin? Will I just keep doing things my way and forget about God? Or will I try and do something about it? Will I come to God and ask for help? And that's exactly the choice that we have as well. When we realize, do you know what? Often I forget God as well. Often I just do things my way. I think that I'm in control. I think that I'm the king. Well, actually, when we realize that God is the one who's the king, he's the one that we should listen to, he's the one that we should follow, we have a choice to make. Do we just keep doing things our way, or do we come to God? Do we say sorry, and do we ask for his forgiveness? Because the Bible tells us some really good news in 1 John 1:8-9. Here's what it says. If we claim to be without sin, if we say that we've never done anything wrong, well, we lie to ourselves and the truth isn't in us. But here's the amazing bit. If we confess our sins, if we say sorry to God for the ways that we've forgotten him, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we come to God, when we say, look, God, I'm sorry for the times when I do things my way instead of yours, I need your help. Well, God says, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus on the cross, the one who died for your sin, and you will see that you can be forgiven. When we trust in Jesus, our sin is dealt with, and we are given new life. And not just new life, but life at its very best. This morning, we've been thinking about a king, and I want to leave everybody with a question, and I leave myself with the same question. Who is the king of our lives? Is it us? Are we trying to do things our way? Or do we realize actually life at its very best, it isn't found in us, it's found in Jesus, and he is the one that we should follow and worship as king? Let's ask for God's help to do that this week. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this time that we have enjoyed together this morning as a church family. We thank you for this story, this example that we find in 2 Kings about King Josiah. God, we pray that we might be inspired to do the same thing as King Josiah did. When we realize our sin, when we realize, God, that there is nothing we can do about sin on our own, no matter how good we try to be, God, we cannot deal with our sin. But we thank you for the amazing news that your Bible tells us, that because of Jesus, we can find forgiveness in him. We can find new life. We can find life at its very best. And God, we know that your word, the Bible, helps us to do that every day. It teaches us how to live a godly life. And so help us this week to remember that, to spend time getting to know you more as we open up your word at home. But God, help us to live the kind of lives that you made us to be, and to know that when we do fail, when we do slip up, God, thank you that we can know forgiveness and we can know grace. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.